Welcome to Primary Attribute, where a Castling Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian, I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they, them pronouns.
Hey, my name's Adam, I play as Vons, and Vons is our furry little fox folk buddy from another universe. We both use he, him pronouns today. Vons is just, like, the sky is, like, back. That's kind of nice. I mean, he's accustomed to overcast as well, but, you know, that's P&W life.
I'm Erin. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use she, they pronouns. And Jesse's like, what's up with this light, man?
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We both use she, her pronouns. And Wealthy's like, what's up with this light, man?
Yep. Yeah, that's fair. I guess.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold college student. We all use he, him pronouns. And right now I am blinded by the light and not going to be chasing waterfalls.
Aw, bud.
If you get a chance, you should rate or review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us. It's very encouraging, and you should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well.
You might be the first.
You've certainly been within the first five.
We're on so many platforms.
Invest early.
Yeah. Can only go up.
Yeah. Yeah. Real early.
Review stocks. All right. Erin, would you like to do the recap?
Yes, please. We entered the valley. The lush, green, sunlit, valley. Which is definitely not Jack's pocket dimension or a different plane. Jesse called Gex just after discovering that Harper is the mother from the Aeon logbook. But Jesse called Gex, and Gex was like, you know, the sun isn't really actually shining here. And so we just paid a lot of attention to the light while we were making our way to the other end of the valley, to the settlement that no longer exists, completely abandoned. But there's a lot of bees around, a lot of wild bees. And basically what we found out at the settlement was that everybody slowly died out as the corruption, you know, cut off everything. And at the end of the day, the light did go away, kind of. It was just concentrated into a tight beam at the other end of the valley where we had come in. So we went back there. And Wealthy tried flying up to see if she could find where the light was coming from. Couldn't find anything. And we went back to the settlement. In the morning, the beam spread back out, covering the valley in light again. But there was also a second diffuse light that came from behind. And now we're just gonna try and figure out what's going on, I guess. It's just a real weird situation, man. Some fucking super intense grow op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Such good energy.
It's Tuesday night.
Are we sure it's not a Truman Show situation?
Oh, man, it could be. I mean, anything could be a Truman Show situation.
Mm.
I mean, the arcs
good
could
morning,
be a Truman
good
Show.
Good afternoon so. And good evening.
I keep asking my boss if this is a Truman Show situation. She keeps saying, get back to work.
Which one?
Several.
Okay.
Just every manager Wit has ever had. Mm-hmm. And sure to ask, just in case.
Uh-huh.
Get you some of my old manager's phone numbers. You can ask them too.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, one of them will know. All right. So, it's morning in this beautiful valley. From what I understand from last time, y'all were planning to explore the valley, but that's all I have. So, what were you guys doing? What's the plan?
I think we are going to pay a lot of attention to the light and also explore the valley.
All right. Stay in the course. I need wisdom checks from every character.
What are the dimensions?
Yes, that's a good question.
It's about 3 miles long and half a mile wide at the widest point, which I did designate last session.
Yes.
For once
okay,
in my
that
life.
That was a long ass time ago, like Saturday.
No, I'm just saying for once in my life, I actually put definite physical dimensions on
yes,
something.
Yes, no, that's great.
And shared them. So,
but it takes a long time to get those 3 miles because it's like dense jungle and like the terrain
right.
is messy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This may be the wrong Vons to bring here.
Oh God, for sure. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Fuck me. I mean,
on a wisdom check on a prime. Hell yeah.
That's a 26 for Wealthy.
Yeah, I think mine adds up to about 26 as well.
The Grixes are confused.
How confused?
They're still figuring out dice.
No, they're one was 14 and one was 12.
I mean, that's not nothing.
Not prime.
You don't know what the difficulty is.
Not easy.
I say the numbers usually are not negative if I'm making you roll. So those are some very good rolls. So you guys go and you explore the valley over the course of the day and you find a couple of things. Wealthy, at one point, it's, you would guess, about a 10-minute walk away from the village. You find a truly massive tree standing tall among everything around it. Giant branches. This tree is clearly extremely old and has big gnarled roots that, you know, extend everywhere and are like 4 feet tall of just piled root system. And while poking around that, you do find that someone above what looks to be a hollow in the roots, although the entrance is, you know, narrow enough you might be able to stick your fist into it, but that's about it. Someone's embedded what looks to be like a metal token or pendant into the bark of the tree, where it's scarred over the edge over time.
I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
Neither the pendant nor the tree are magic.
All right. It doesn't seem cool to take the pendant out of the tree. So I'm going to get my face down really, really close, and I'm going to look at the pendant. What can I see of the pendant? How much
are
of it
you
is sticking
really
out?
Sure the tree wants that pendant in there?
Oh.
I am not taking the pendant out of the tree. If I, with my luck, I'll take the pendant out of the tree, and the tree will instantly die.
I feel like that is not your luck.
What do you mean?
You've almost died and then not died many times, Wealthy.
But I am not. I'm not going to do anything to this tree. Unless I can. I want to know what the pendant says.
It's a graduation orb.
It can't all be graduation orbs all the time.
I mean,
it's the tree's graduation.
Not if you're a coward, they can't be.
I mean, that's fair. All right. So you go and you give it a look. There are many types of trees around here, but this is in fact an oak tree, and you see that the pendant has an oak leaf on it. Do you read Elvish?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Yes. I remember that.
Probably.
Yes, I read Elvish. Of course I read Elvish.
Okay.
That's a silly question to ask myself.
It's a dialect of Elvish you're not used to, but you can kind of sound it out and figure it out. Written in flowing script around the very edge of this pendant is the, you would presume, title and name, Keeper Hassan.
Okay. I'm going to look up and I'm going to go, Keeper of what? Probably,
how
actually,
you
that's
spell
a silly
Hassan?
Question.
Hassan.
So I would think that a keeper is the person who, okay, I'm going to, is somebody who was here tending the garden. I'm going to put my hand on the pendant and I'm going to pull.
Okay, the edges of the pendant have been embedded in the bark, so I'm going to need you to make a strength check to kind of dig in and pull it.
that is a 14.
You just can't get a grip. It looks like the tree has been growing around the edges of this pendant for a while, and it's kind of slowly just embedded itself over time. You can't get enough of a grip to pull it out.
I look around. Is Jesse anywhere close?
Yes.
Hey, Jesse, come over here.
Yeah, what's up?
Lumber, lumber, lumber. Can you pull this?
That. I am a good swords person.
You're a very good swords person, but it's also jungle. I'm lumbering through the jungle.
Okay.
Can you go ahead and try and pull this pendant out?
You know what? I'm lithe like a panther. can I use a dagger?
Yeah, that'll make a strength check.
Great. That's a 16 on a prime.
It's really hard.
Yeah, this is a hardwood tree, and you try to dig in around, and it's just not happening.
Well, shit.
You can spend a while chipping away at the tree if you want. You will eventually get it out, but...
I turn to Wealthy. I'm like, are you cool with me, like, you know, chipping around it?
Sure.
Then I'll do that.
All right. Y'all take some time. You hack away at this tree and you're eventually able to pop the pendant out.
I'm sure this
and what
is fine.
Does that accomplish?
I hand it
besides
to
death
Wealthy.
And destruction.
Here.
Oh, besides death and destruction, probably nothing.
Well, congratulations. You've hacked away part of a tree. And the back appears to be...
The back of the tree?
the back of the pendant appears to be some sort of drawing that you would guess roughly just based on looking around, especially because you guys have gone up and down the valley a few times. It's probably a rough representation of like the valley as seen on a map.
Mm, how big is okay. the pendant?
Like 1.5 inches across in diameter.
Oh, that's tiny.
Actually, probably more like 2, but still, yeah, it's just a pendant or a token, as said.
Mm-hmm. Does it look like it was hand-carved, or does it look like it was cast?
It looks like it was, hand-carved.
Okay.
Like engraved?
Yes.
Mm.
What does it appear to be made of?
A metal, I need to think. probably just like a, let's see, trying to remember. Let's say it's made of silver.
Okay.
Gonna ask him what's on the front of the...
They already saw that part.
Keeper Hassan.
Oh, what was it? I forgot.
Keeper Hassan.
Oh.
So it just says Keeper Hassan. It doesn't have like a likeness or anything like that.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put it in my pocket and say, thanks, Jesse. I appreciate it. Didn't accomplish very much, but I appreciate it.
I turn to Harper. You ever hear of Keeper Hassan?
No, but I haven't been here in over 500 years, so.
I don't know. Maybe it's from like, exactly the time that you knew people around here.
Did it look fresh though? Like not grown into the tree or not like, you know, buried under detritus and stuff?
I mean, it was on the side of the tree, but so it was above where kind of the detritus would have gathered, but it did look like the tree had been growing around it for a while.
It does or doesn't? Sorry, does. You followed your words there. Does. Okay.
Well, how old was the tree?
I mean, we'd have to cut it down and like count look at rings? The rings and shit. So
you're
like,
a ranger, you can tell a tree's age just by looking at it.
I touch the tree.
What does the tree tell me?
What? How old does the tree tell me that it is?
You can tell the age of plants by looking at them if you are an expert in plants.
And know the environment.
Yeah, I just don't think I'm like familiar with jungle trees, man.
Well, this isn't super jungly. This is an oak tree, but it's also an extremely large oak tree. So you'd guess that it's super fucking old. You would guess at least centuries, but
uh-huh.
I get the impression.
Oak trees get that old?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I have gotten the impression that the arcs is a much more like pine trees.
Yeah, y'all are big on evergreens and other things that handle.
Like, high altitudes like mountainous.
Yeah, they're
altitude like, trees.
They're similar enough, though. They grow at rates. Trees is trees. Like those kinds of trees is trees.
How old can I tell that the tree is according to?
Like you could ballpark it within 50 years, 100 years.
Centuries. You don't see a lot of oak trees. And this also appears to be a place that is ideal growing conditions all the time.
Yeah, that's fair. So do I say like 500 years, 700 years?
You would guess 300 to 500. Actually, probably 500. Yeah, let's just put it at roughly 500.
And the arcs took off 500 years ago.
Yes.
Roughly. Okay.
These are bon voyage trees.
This is just a baby tree then.
Oh, I just had a really sad thought.
Uh-huh.
How sad.
Aristine's birthday came and went and none of us noticed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think about that sometimes.
Who's Aristine?
You know Aristine.
Welsie gets this really...
This Vons would not... Actually, no.
Legit, yeah. This Vons would know Aristine.
Welsie gets real teary-eyed and has to go stand staring at the water.
Thing is, Jesse didn't say that.
That Aristine's hanging out with her dad right now. Oh, wait, no, he's not.
She's not.
That Aristine's in college right now?
Yes, Aristine is at Stanford right now.
Right.
Thank God.
I love that you are like not a proponent of young love. It makes me, I find it so hilarious. You're like, no. You're 18, an idiot.
I'm 57 years old. I do not think it was a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Maybe it all would have worked out.
Yeah, this Vons doesn't even... I don't think this Vons met that Aristine, did he?
This Vons did not meet the Aristine who's dead, no.
Right. So he's just glad that they have a backup, I guess.
I am a proponent of young love. I do believe that if they spend enough time apart...
They could come back together come back and it together would be okay.
And everything will be fine.
Yes.
This is what I believe in.
Yes.
But just chasing somebody across the country when you can't go to that school, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to bring the mood down or inject weird vibes.
No, that's fine. It's
been a weird vibes night. Anyway, yeah, so it's like, you know, 300, 500 years, the tree.
Okay.
Sweet.
So how many years in did this pendant get embedded? Tell us many. That.
Mm. Several.
Now it's many. Now you say many.
Well, that you can't tell. Oh, my God. Hey, babe, I worked with Arborist for 2 years.
No, that's fair. I mean, I didn't. I don't think about these things. Sorry.
Write us, Arborists. Letters at primaryattribute.com.
Tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yes. Tell us about
so much wrong
about trees.
Stop us from saying more wrong things.
But like in a constructive, cool way.
Or don't.
I am sorry to all arborists and also my husband who worked with arborists. I'm sorry that I'm...
Can we infer that a lack of arborist reply is permission to say all kinds of terrible things about trees?
I just feel like, yeah, I mean, sure.
Like nasty, terrible things about like really exercise or dendrophilia kink.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with that one.
No? Okay.
Oh, right.
If they don't reply, it could be because the trees got them, like in that...
That one Shyamalan movie. Yeah.
All right, wow, so you found
really
a tree.
We've really gone off the rails here.
You found a tree and you looked at it, and you found a pendant in it, and you popped the pendant out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I assume you keep on exploring, unless you want to die exhibiting this tree hundreds of years later. All right.
Onward.
You explore more of the valley. It continues to be overgrown. You find many bees, you find many birds, many small mammals, a couple of foxes, a bunch of squirrels, rabbits, things like that. There's a surprising, like everything is really crammed together, but like there is a small meadow where there aren't a bunch of trees that have grown. There is, you know, little forks in that river that become tiny creeks and, you know, slightly different things grow when they can overhang the creek. You find the very last remnants of what you would guess was like a fence around what you would assume was where they kept bees, based on like essentially you're doing the archaeologist post hole thing of just like, how are these spaced? This seems boxy.
So they fenced in the bees, huh?
You know, with bee fence.
Mm-hmm.
Like a loose fence, like the kind you might put around, say, a garden. It's not like the plants are going to escape, but it's nice to designate a spot. I don't know. Maybe they had bee fence technology. I suppose I shouldn't tell you. Though they couldn't fence in the bees. All right. From there, you guys are kind of going down the like west or the east side of the valley and then looping back up over the course of your day. As you get down towards the south end of the valley, it starts to rain. It's a nice, gentle shower. It's also a phenomenon that has many names. I like the Kitsune are getting married version of it, but it's a shower with no clouds. Just rain. And still sunny.
This is the weirdest shit in the world.
Jesse is real uncomfortable.
Oh, Washington gets that all the time.
Yes. What's Washington?
Don't worry about it.
But like I didn't think that a different version of Bonds would also have that phrase.
I was going to say, would this Bonds do it? Don't worry about it about Washington.
Yeah.
Well, he'd realize that, it's kind of beyond explaining. We're not going to worry about it.
Imagine.
Then you got to get into like the continental 48 states and like why the ones on the left are so much bigger than the ones on the right and how it's like, I guess Idaho kind of, but it doesn't. It doesn't. We don't count Idaho. It's like a whole thing. Don't worry about it.
Imagine a whole town full of launderers.
Why?
Washington.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's clearly the etymology of our state and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're so sick.
Frymeath somehow stays quiet. Despite the fact there are youths being wrong.
Nah, he just knows too. It's like, you know.
I feel like he's used to youths being wrong around him.
It's a lot to get
He
into.
Hung out with his granddaughter is Aerisine. Are you fucking kidding me?
He's learned that jumping into correct people often makes you an asshole.
He's working on it.
Yeah. The hard-won wisdom of years. So that rain continues for a while, and then as you're making your way back up the west side, you kind of go past where that, like the southwest end is where the entrance cave is. So you go past that and you start working your way back up. And eventually you find your way down one of those little rivulets. There's a like indentation, carved out spot, whatever, in the west wall of the valley that goes a little deeper because there's a pond there that breaks out into two little rivulets of water that disappear into kind of mud and stone. Some different things grow there because it's shady. But the big thing is that Jesse, while you are poking around and stomping around the edge of this pond, well, not stomping, but walking around the edge of this pond looking at stuff, you see a mound of flowers and grasses and moss that looks slightly irregularly rounded to you. And you go over and you take a look and you brush some of the plant life choking it away and you find a wheel, as one would say, find on a valve.
On a valve?
Yeah, like the kind of wheel you would use to like open and close a valve or a pipe or something like that.
Oh.
I add it to my inventory. This is clearly important. I played video games.
And you also quickly determine
Steamboat
that.
Willie.
And you also kind of brush off some more dirt and stuff after, you know, stepping to take a closer look, and you hear kind of a hollow clong sound and realize that this valve is attached to the top of a dome of metal that appears to be set into a square bit of cement or stone.
All right, free dome.
Ask anyone with magic to detect magic if you can. Hey, like, is there anything wrong with this? You know, like, should we be careful or?
I think I can, unless you have it wealthy.
I can do it again. Has it been too long? Can I still?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Then I'll just go ahead and detect magic again.
The metallic dome set into the ground is not magic. I should also clarify to make sure we all have a common idea of the size, because you're not in my head. This dome is about 4 feet in diameter.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, a hatch.
Yeah.
A person-sized hatch.
Yeah, y'all been around hatches. This sure looks hatch-like.
We've all watched Lost.
Mm-hmm.
We have been into the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesse, I don't think has been in that way, but...
I do shave and a haircut on it.
You get no response.
Actually, I bet Vons was in the middle of watching Lost.
Oh.
First season, probably.
You would have been.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He never formed a full opinion. Based on, you know, everything else that happened. Now that we've knocked and trying to figure out what's... I think Jessie's just gonna, you know, do her best to try and open it if she can.
Okay, roll a strength check.
I bet this is going to be really hard. You know what would be like really good is if we had some oil.
Right?
I rolled a 19 plus 10 is 29 on a prime. So,
man, I bet Vaughn's has some oil.
I bet Vaughn's has a lot of oil on the ship.
Yeah.
I bet Vaughn's has even more oil on the ship than he used to.
Probably. I bet he's been making potions this whole time.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he would have run out of ingredients very quickly.
Ah.
He can go outside a little bit.
Yeah, he's probably like finding ingredients or plying others to get him stuff or...
On a boat?
He seems pretty resourceful.
They land sometimes.
I don't think they do right now. They're running from the shadow corrupted boats.
That's not going to be forever.
Well, last Gex knew, Vons was being tied up for going into the galley again without permission.
That sounds like Vons.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, he's very food motivated.
But all right, Jesse, you don't need no stinking oil. Not with your mighty thieves.
I don't need no stinking oil. I'm like a panther. What does this mean in this context? No way to know.
I was hoping you knew. So... You go, and it takes a few tries, but you get that wheel to start moving. There is surprisingly little to no rust. It appears that all of the jamming is due to, it looks like, over time, dirt and grime and such got down into those threads, but you kind of just are able to grind through it, and you're able awesome. To, you know, fully undo the wheel and haul the hatch open. There is a ladder leading downwards into the darkness.
Can we, like, have a... Can you, like, put a light down in there?
I should cast light.
How far does light reach?
Like 20, 30 feet, but you can also cast it on a thing and then throw the thing.
Yeah.
That's true. I grab a rock, cast it on that, and throw it down.
It falls down a good ways. You would guess about 50 feet and then hits the ground. The ladder appears to go down that entire distance. You also see what looks to be, you would guess, another hatch or door of some kind down at the bottom there.
Well, that's a good place for another hatch or door to be.
And so the shaft itself is just a 4.5-foot square that just goes straight down.
Jesse will go down the ladder.
Okay. You start climbing down. Every step echoes as you go. The dome was made out of that metal you'd seen on the walls of these caves, or, you know, at least seen torn out of them. And every surface in here appears to be made of that metal fit together.
Oh, the metal of like the tunnels.
Yeah.
So this is just more of the tunnels.
You would guess so, yeah.
Like the scary tunnels that Parper said she doesn't go into.
Yeah.
Huh.
What's going on down there?
Jesse goes on. I don't know. She just yells back up. I don't know.
You make it to the bottom without incident. There's a brightly lit rock here that's frankly causing some very uncomfortable levels of reflection back in your eyes from various angles. It's a dull metal, but still, just you're in a small space with a very bright object. But there is another door here. This one is, you know, not just a little dome ladder hatch. This is a full-size door. Looks pretty hefty. Has another one of those wheels and looks big and heavy.
And it's like a vertical door.
It reminds you of like a bulkhead door that you've seen on the arcs. Yeah. Has words on it in a language you've never seen.
I'll yell up to the people up at the top and say, I think there's more of that weird writing. Can Harper come down?
Harper heads down.
I'm going to follow her.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Starts getting kind of crowded at the bottom.
I will wait up here.
Yeah.
Harper takes a look at the writing and says, I can't read that.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
It's the kind of stuff that's down in these tunnels. It's not.
Oh.
It's not anything from.
God, I wish we were in like a visual medium.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's also entirely possible that like they could look close enough, especially in very small sample sizes, that Jesse wouldn't be 100% sure. Like, but yeah. She goes, sorry, can't read it.
Okay, well,
can I? Okay, I can't read it because.
I will save all of you time. Whenever any of you look at it, you cannot read. None of you have this language on your sheet.
No, that's not what I was thinking.
No, I was just clarifying because Kelly had to ask.
It was bound to come up.
Uh-huh. No, I understand I can't read it because it's the language of the people. I was just, you know, interested in words and languages.
Jesse has an idea, but I'm pretty sure she's not. I have an idea. Aaron has an idea. I'm pretty sure Jesse's not smart enough to also have this idea. Fuck.
Jesse, roll an intelligence check.
Okay.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short.
That's a 15.
Total?
Yeah.
I don't think you have that idea. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Harper squeezed into the corner. Is like, sorry, you guys. Are we going into the bad place, or can I climb out of here, or like...
What time of day is it?
It's early afternoon by the time you got here.
I feel like this is not the right time of day to go into the scary place.
It's like 1 p.m.
But it's like underground, like, you know, time's all the same underground.
I like to start bad things in the morning.
Be prepared for them.
Yeah, be like real well rested. I'll climb back up and so we can have a conversation about it, I guess.
All right. It's a hefty climb, but you make it back up.
Hey, so there's like, you know, writing and shit on the door. And it's clearly more of that tunnel stuff. So what do we want to do?
I should also clarify, it's only like a couple words that are written on the door. It's not a manifesto written in blood or anything extensive like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's clearly...
But were the couple words written in blood?
Not as far as you can tell.
Huh.
So, you know, if it's blood, they managed to make a really good paint out of it or something.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like an industrial sign telling us what's in the hole, clearly.
I mean, industrial blood, yeah.
Yeah, industrial blood.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a thing that everyone's heard of.
I mean, it's very ominous.
It's like super ominous, but also like
enticing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know what's going on down there.
It feels like we're being shepherded in a direction that
it just keeps turning up, doesn't it?
that's like telling us to like go down into one of these tunnels.
Sometimes you roll a nat 20 and you find the really hidden thing. Just saying.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, no, that's fair, voice in Jesse's head.
Well, yeah, Vons is
kind of keen.
What?
Yeah, maybe we would understand what's going on with the sunlight if we went and checked out what's going on in these tunnels. And I really want to know what's going on with the sun.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. What were you going to say, Vons?
I'll just... Let's look until the hairs on the back of our neck go up, and then we can turn around.
Yeah. Yeah, let's definitely do that, man. That's like a really fucking good idea. Just like actually pay attention to our gut, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll do that.
Hell yeah.
Because all four of us have this, all of us have the exactly the same gut feelings.
No, hairs. Hairs. Back of your neck. That's your gut is where food goes.
I mean, I don't really have a lot of hairs on the back of my neck, so, but like my gut, I think does the same thing. So that's what I'm going to pay attention to.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I guess we'll go in now.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
I mean, this is a good time of day. We're still, you know, fit and awake and not tired. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't need a super detailed marching order, but who's going down first and second?
I'll go ahead. I guess Jesse's going to go first because Jesse generally goes first.
I mean, Jesse can go either first or last. I feel like in this situation, it maybe makes
Has Harper decided to go with us? I mean, or
yeah, Harper will go with you.
Okay.
Is Frymeath going to go with?
Yeah. No, the whole gang's going. X is going to go. It's going to be great.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. Then I'd say Harper should go first and Jesse should go last.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll follow behind Harper.
Okay.
I'll be in the middle somewhere.
Okay. Ricks and Vons can be in the middle.
Sure.
As can Steamboat Willie, probably. All right. So yeah. Harper goes down. We'll see. You kind of go and cram in there. There's not that much space at the bottom of this ladder. And Harper grabs the wheel and grunts and then grabs one side of it and kind of puts her weight into it. And there's another kind of gnarly squeak, but more gnarly than the word squeak might imply. And you, I just can't think of words. There we go. Like kind of a gnarly squealing sound. But she does manage to get it moving.
Mechanical, or did they run over a rat?
Mechanical. As if, say, no one has used this door's, you know, valve handle thing in a number of years, you would guess. And goes and gets it open and kind of shoulders the door open and pushes it. And you all enter a small room.
Okay. I picked up the stone with the light, so I'm carrying it around so that we're not walking around in the dark where the monsters can eat us.
So you guys go into this room, about 15 by 15. Off to your right, there is a large, long version of one of those consoles, switch things that you saw back at that temple, and then a small desk. The other side, there is a door that's going to elsewhere that is currently shut. On the desk, there is a lantern that provides dim light, although you guys have a, you know, light rock, so you're good there.
Is the lantern lit? How do we know it provides dim light?
Because it is lit.
Why is it lit?
Great question.
Jesse approaches it and, like, pokes it.
It shifts slightly when you poke it as an object of that weight might be expected to. It looks a lot like a storm lantern, but, like, a little bit squatter, but it has that same kind of, like, overhang at the top.
Is it like the magical lighting on the arcs, or is there...
It seems vaguely similar, but the magical lights on the arcs, like, they're good lighting, but they're kind of, like, it shifts a bit. You can watch the magic kind of move around. It's not necessarily completely 100% uniform when it's on its own. This is a very uniform, like, warm white light and, you know, very constant. None of the flickering or shifting that might be expected with, like, an arcs light, but it appears to be at least serving a very similar function.
But it's neither a flame nor the kind of magical light that I've seen.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Gonna say the glass appears to be frosted or something. You can't see anything like in the interior of the lantern itself.
Well, isn't that fun?
It's great. I don't know what you're talking about. So
is it nuclear?
Can we see anything else? What else do we see in this room?
You can, but we got hung up on the lamp for a second, so... you see a couple things. On the desk, there are what look to be some writing implements and some paper. Jesse, you can tell this because you're standing close enough. The paper is kind of a light green. It's lined. Some of it's loose, and there's like a pad with some of it on it. It all looks old and dry enough. You bet if you tried to pick it up, it would crumble.
Okay.
Aside from that, on that console, there is what the Green Day Universe folks would recognize as something at least akin to like a CRT monitor screen or, you know, some piece of glass you're pretty sure is the display. And on the narrow counter in front of it, like running along the front of that big console switch, you know, giant switchboard, there is a metal box that is about 9x12 and about 3 inches tall and closed. There is a long metal, it's kind of like a card. It is almost 18 inches long and like, but only like 4 inches wide. It appears to be made of that same metal as the walls and most of any other remotely metallic surface in here, which is almost everything. But it has had pieces punched out of it to the point that these are little tiny holes, but there's so many of them, it almost looks like lace. And then drawn next to it is an arrow that points to a device of some variety that is sitting on the counter. It looks like it has kind of two rollers or wheels on the top, and then there's a bunch of other junk and some sort of a long tray at the bottom that looks to be about the size of that card. And drawn on the counter next to that is what you all pretty easily recognize as an illustration of putting the card into the thing.
Jesse is like, what the fuck is any of this?
Yeah, it's all, I mean, I was in the Green Day universe and this is all a mystery to me.
Yeah, none of this looks right to what you saw in the Green Day universe. It's not a match at all. And Grix and Vons and Primeath, although Primeath's not a player character, you're all getting that same like early 80s-ish sort of kind of dawn of computing vibe, or even like the, you know, Apollo program earlier. Like,
okay,
very, very physical, many switches, lots of tiny lights.
Yeah.
This really is starting to feel pretty lost, isn't it? Yeah.
I've been feeling like some like Star Destroyers all like crashed in the desert in a like, you know, 10,000 years ago and no one remembers. And like, this is just the remnants of like all the Star Destroyers that crashed in a, it's Jakku.
I'm going to say it's my backdoor fix fic for the most recent trilogy.
Just let them be not as good as the other ones in peace. Good Lord.
I'm mostly sad about the last one, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, well.
But so, there's a metal box. There's a metal card. There's a device. There's a much larger device covered in switches. What do you all do?
And it doesn't glow or anything like that?
Which thing?
Does any of it glow?
The CRT monitor.
The lantern.
And is any of it magic, I think is the main.
Ah, that kind of glowing. None of it is magic.
Well, nothing left to do but poke around and see if anything breaks.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this to the Green Day universe. Might have a better idea of what's going on.
I do very much feel like this is not a job for any Prime Universe people.
Steamboat Willie pushes whatever looks like the on button. The thing that looks like an on button, which is usually prominent and like
fairly indicative of what being an off on off button is.
And I'm not expecting like the IO symbol or whatever, but like,
no, in those days it would be like a firm switch.
Make an intelligence check.
Like a rocker switch usually, because they weren't using momentary switches yet.
Intelligence, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, cocked. My Google die roll is cocked. Hang on.
Sorry, what?
Nothing. I rolled a 12.
Total?
Yeah.
All right. In front of you is an unlabeled mass of switches and buttons.
Unlabeled.
Or the labels are letters and symbols that you don't recognize.
Right.
There is in front of that illustrated instructions drawn onto the counter for putting this one thing into this other thing. That maybe putting the card into that mechanism. That might be the way to turn it on.
I do it.
Okay. You find environmental storytelling.
Yay!
And I'm going to email this to Aaron right now because there's going to be a few minutes of reading, and I know that is not, I know audio dumps are not ideal.
I mean, talk faster.
I'm assuming you're sending this to me for notes, or do you want me to read it out?
No, I'm going to read it out loud. This is just so you have it for notes. And so
okay,
we don't have to worry about like correcting spelling and stuff in the middle.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to not open that right now.
Thank you. You go and you put this card on the top and you have to push it down a little bit, but then the machine starts kind of clacking and grinding a little bit, but not a lot.
Oh, what did the card look like anyway?
It is a 4-inch wide by 18-inch long piece of metal, fairly thin, the same metal as the walls are made of, and punched with an intricate pattern of tiny holes, making it look almost like lace.
Oh, I bet Vons has seen something like this before.
Vons is probably too young to see the closest analog I can think of.
In person anyway, yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, it goes through. You hear a bunch of little things clicking and clacking, like stuff is being kind of dragged along the surface of that card and flicking over the various holes. And as it goes through, slowly, this is what you hear. Wait a minute. None of you speak this language. You hear a bunch of words.
Ian!
Well, you see, I know one of you has comprehend languages.
I do not.
Do I?
Yep, you learned on the island.
Yes, I learned that recently. I don't have it prepared.
Do you want to just retcon that you prepared it for no given reason?
Sure!
Hooray! Either that or
I totally heard him from the other room. That never happens.
Going to say that or we fucking time jump to the next day.
Either way, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah, let's just say it's that. You guys listen to it, you realize you don't know. We time jump to the next day. You're back. You're prepped. Now you hear the thing. And Grix, I assume, will relay this to everyone else. Hello to whoever's listening to this. It's selfish, but I hope someone does. I hope you can understand my words. I don't expect you to. I doubt any of us are left to learn our language from. Simmons, sorry, Linus, he preferred his first name. He'd call me a pessimist for saying this, but I'd argue we deserve it, and he's not here to argue anymore, so, frankly, we should be forgotten. The story of how it came to this is long, and I only have so much card to work with. I'm wasting punches as it is. I'll try to keep things simple. For all I know, you're banging rocks together and think fire is the bee's knees. The room you're in is below a valley that we were using to test a few things. You're stuck with a soldier, so I can't exactly tell you how most of them work. It's fancy stuff, though, built out of tiny machines that work together. We call them, this is an untranslatable word, so Comprehend Languages tries its best and gives you microscopic automata.
Huh?
Oh, God.
The Duron type, specifically. They're like a bunch of sand where each grain can do something and they work together to do complicated things. How do I explain this to somebody who's never heard of it? Fuck. Wish I had more card. All right. Mostly the military cares about perfecting the stealth wall, but the scientists were building other things based on the underlying tech, the bunches of sand. Finding new uses, most didn't work. I managed one, but we'll get to that. We've also got our mandatory two, another untranslatable word that goes unit, of the Thylas weapons system. Damn thing fucked us all. Well, we all fucked ourselves with it, I guess. I've been alone here for 3 years. Everyone else was emergency reassigned to the other bases, and I'm just here in case they need our Thylas units aimed at something. I don't think that call's coming. Why, our messages to every base in the codebook have gone unanswered, and there haven't been any runners. So either everyone's dead, or they abandoned me in a retreat. At least that means no one can tell me what to do. I took some time to learn. I'm no tech operator, no scientist, but I'm a good reader. I don't want anyone to ever use the Thylas weapons system again. My side, the opposing side, it doesn't matter. But I wanted to make something good from it, especially after how much we've used it to do not good. I can't bring myself to use what's probably the proper words. I gave orders I'll have to live with. I wasn't the only one. I can only control R2 units, but that's better than nothing. Shit, how am I halfway through my punches? I digress. This valley was spared, thanks to the field. I've tried to keep it nice for you. If I did this right, the valley should be sunny. Perfect weather, clear skies, endless spring, a beam at night to show you rock bangers the way in and out. I figure it'll be pretty obvious. The whole continent is blasted, so it's not like the trees will be in the way. I was able to finish Dr. Hopper's project, iron out the bugs, and so it should rain regularly here too. Safe, pure rain that you don't have to filter. It even gives the plants whatever the river doesn't provide. There are so many gorgeous plants here, and hopefully I set this up right to keep them happy and growing. I didn't spend enough time out there, but oh well. Say hi to the irises for me. I always like them the best. I'll be making sure no one can easily find this place. The hatch inside the valley that you came in through is the only way in or out of here if I did my job right. I've been thorough. I just need to go to the last step after finishing this recording. If the Thylas system units are cooking the plant or the microscopic automata aren't doing their job and there's a drought, there's a manual in the box. I don't have enough card to record it here. Gods, I hope you can read. Don't use the console unless you absolutely have to. I'm not confident in my programming, much less the program I made to let you change my programming. I'm just a grunt. Sorry, you probably deserved better. Last few sentences, no pressure. I approve some horrible things. No worse than others, but that doesn't mean they weren't horrible. I accept my role. I know this will not absolve me, but hopefully it makes the world better for those that come after. I'm ensuring this place will never harm anyone again. My name is Sammy Daniels, the last soldier of Outpost Ariza Pinchel Ivis 07. To whoever's listening to this, I hope you did better than we did. Leave the world better than you found it. Don't be us. Be better than we ever were. I'll be rooting for you. Sincerely, Lieutenant Samantha Sammy Daniels, Explosives Specialist First Rank.
Sammy sure is a chatty motherfucker, considering how little, like, space they had to write all that.
Well, you see, it was an audio recording.
Oh, so then they were recording the cards separately. The audio recording was not somehow...
The audio is on the cards. It's punch cards.
Yes.
Recording the audio.
Uh-huh.
And you just played it back.
Okay.
The card falls out of the bottom. It looks to be a little scratched up. You'd guess the machine is not in the best condition, but it's still intact.
So we could listen again?
And it falls down to the machine with a clank. I'm going to give this to, actually, of all people, Prime Grix for free, and to a lesser extent Wealthy. But you think you can play this again? You would be wary about playing it too many times.
Sure.
You think it will eventually destroy the card.
Sure.
Unless you somehow fix the machine.
Am I the only one who... holy shit. This is where the corruption came from.
I mean, that's a bit of a leap, but yeah.
I don't probably think it's a leap at all.
Is the corruption made of those little automatons he was talking about?
We don't know.
Well, because like the corruption dissolves into smoke.
Yeah, yeah, like there's
cloud,
that.
Cloud, so.
There's that. It just seems like
they're talking about like a time when there was like forests on this continent. There haven't been forests on this continent in like as long as anyone can remember. That's way longer ago.
There's a forest here.
Yeah, but he talked she talked about like there were forests across the whole place.
Hmm.
Yeah, but what? Okay, shit. I can't say this. I can't say this because Wealthy doesn't know this.
Oh, that's why.
You release the automata, and it takes them a while to build up enough. That's what I'm thinking, but that's Kelly thinking. That's not Wealthy thinking that. So
no, totally.
Damn it.
Yeah, that would be totally reasonable for any of the Green Day people to bring up that sci-fi concept exists.
Yeah, we've seen Star Trek by now. The Borger thing. See, my nose isn't even bleeding.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Weird thing to brag about.
Sorry, Aaron's laugh.
Yes, I do have a good laugh. I know. I've been told.
This is very interesting. Is there anything else in here? Are there other ways out of here? Is there more like bunker?
There is a door that appears to go into the rest of the bunker. However, upon examination, it appears to have been welded shut.
Ah.
Oh, crazy.
And there is there's a small window to the other side, but even holding, you know, your light up to it or using your dark vision, as far as you can tell out there, there is mostly rubble and water where there is not rubble. So the space is full of rubble and flooded.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
This also roughly corresponds relative to this, the way you went down. This roughly corresponds, you would guess, towards the main body of the pond.
Oh, sure. I think for once, Jessie doesn't have any like kind of opinion. She doesn't know what to think at all. She's leaving the thinking up to people who know, understand better.
Well, weapons are generally not great things.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
mass weapon, big killing weapons. Like,
So Vaughn's had, or sorry, Grix had to relay this message to the rest of us as they heard it, right? Yeah.
But did so flawlessly in a way that brooks no misunderstanding through going through Grix as a character.
And I even got the voice right.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
So we know that there was a massive weapon. Sounds, Kelly, did your character, did Wealthy say anything that you were thinking?
Beyond the fact that I think that Wealthy really and truly does think that this is the origin of the corruption, she just doesn't understand the exact mechanics of it.
So it's a hypothesis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's her hypothesis.
Okay. Well, we're going to need a way to test that hypothesis, ideally without turning this thing on.
Uh-huh.
If it is, in fact, some kind of big weapon thing. Do we see the... So far, we've been interacting with a playing device, a recording player of some kind. Do we see the piece of equipment that the recording was referencing?
You would guess it is the giant console of switches with the small screen that it was on the tiny counter that runs across the front of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to leave it alone, are we?
No.
That doesn't sound like us. So I guess Vons is going to start by looking at the back side of it. Try scooching it away from the wall, seeing what its power source looks like.
Vons, make an intelligence check.
Okay. 18 plus 6 is 24 plus 1 is 25.
Good job. All right. So you can't really move the thing itself. It's just too massive. But you can move the desk that was next to it and kind of wiggle in that way. And you messed with the latches on one of these things before, so you're able to take one of the side panels off.
Mm-hmm.
And you look inside. It's much like the ones you saw at the temple with, you know, wires running in channels and then kind of these...
fasteners.
Yeah, and like these flexible, like multi-part, more rigid structures that go across whenever it has to go across an empty space. You also see pretty clear signs from, I don't know, your time in your computer class, I guess, that like there's a bunch of stuff that's being rerouted in from the walls. You would guess that this console did not originally fulfill the function it is now being used for. Not in a way that makes it like sketchy or bad, just it looks like essentially control was routed from somewhere else to this console.
From, do we have an idea from where?
From elsewhere in the base, you would guess.
Oh, okay. So deeper in through the steel door.
So this is just a control panel for another machine somewhere deeper into the space.
That would be your guess, yeah.
And it's communicating with an electric signal, or at least a form of energy that behaves like electricity.
And so from what you examined last time, you haven't exactly, you know, found an exposed wire and put your finger on it, but you would guess that these are electrical in nature. Yeah, it looks too similar. Although, actually, now that I think about it, I believe there isn't any insulation on these wires. So...
so, yeah, there's probably... so they look like, to Vons, they probably look like something resembling a circuit board, but...
yeah, but big and kind of clunky.
Yeah, rudimentary.
Yeah, and, I mean, you haven't gotten into the nitty-gritty of, like, using these, but...
call me a rock smasher.
You also know from, you know, being here that...
I mean, that was the thing they would say. The person was saying.
I was going to say, it looks primitive, but you also know that divergent technology styles is a thing, so it could be looking, it could look crude but have a reasonably large amount of complexity to it. It's hard to say until you use it.
Right. And I imagine there's a bunch of like little components that, like on any circuit board we have, little chips and whatever that contain unknowable stuff within.
Yeah, I mean, almost everything is the size that you could, like, if you guys get in there with, you know, as small as some tweezers, you could, but like there's, you know, a small three-dimensional grid with what looks like dozens of tiny round something suspended between like wires that are forming.
Sure.
Essentially a giant Rubik's Cube, if you could see inside a Rubik's Cube and all the lines connected.
Mm-hmm.
There's clearly like the lights that are, and switches and the connections to those. It's, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Right. Yep. So I'll just say to other Green Day Grix that, hey, there's like, you know, it's like a circuit. There's no way to tell exactly what it does until it's doing what it does.
Yeah.
Do you see a power button?
I presume not.
Or a power source?
You would guess the power source is somewhere deeper in along with the, where those wires are going.
Hmm.
All right. I think the main question is, do we want to cut open the door and try to go deeper?
Could we even cut open the door?
After the warning that we got from...
Harper.
From Sammy.
Oh, sure. That's true.
I imagine that's sealed for a reason.
Yeah. One has to just, you know, wonder why.
There is also water on the other side of the door, so you would have to take steps to...
not drown.
To not have it flood this room. Yeah.
Ah, okay. I don't...
with that in mind, who knows if this thing even works anymore.
Has some blinking lights.
Well, it did just work. I mean, part of it worked.
Yeah, the player did.
The person in the recording said not to do anything.
Not to mess with anything.
Though. Okay, fine.
Well, we're not going to fire off a weapon. That's ridiculous.
They did also say, because it might have been easy to miss, that there's a manual in the box and there is a metal box sitting on the counter.
Oh,
right. Well, we would have eventually noticed that anyway.
Yeah.
Pull out the manual.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You open up the box. It's just latched shut. The manual is in that most deviant of things, a four-ring binder.
Oh.
A similar construction, made of metal. Again, it looks like they used this metal for a lot of different stuff.
They seem insecure. What? Four rings. Four rings just reeks of insecurity.
Sure. All right. You go and you take that out. You flip it open. A piece of paper falls out of it or starts to slide out of it and you catch it.
Uh-huh.
It appears to be a written version of the thing you just heard. Exactly the same as far as meaningful content. And then everything else is made of that same kind of green lined paper that you saw. It's kind of a light green. Think like a yellow legal pad, but make it green instead. And it's all been put in there. Your comprehend languages should still be running.
Uh-huh.
So at the very front, someone has scrawled all of this with something that to the Green Day characters looks similar to a ballpoint pen in terms of like line thickness and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And regularity. But, you know, it's scrawled like Sammy's Valley Climate Thylas Remade. I'm not good at titles manual.
Okay.
The next page is a table of contents that you can read. The main notable thing is that the page numbers kind of at the end of each line have been crossed out and replaced several times, like someone kept adding pages and had to adjust everything.
Okay.
And after that, you start flipping through it and make an intelligence check.
Pretty good. 21.
Okay. First comes a bunch of drawings. They're not very good drawings. And because you have comprehend languages and because you're smart, you also quickly determine, like, Americans have a check mark and an X. Japanese use a circle and an X. You know, there's a positive slash yes and a negative slash no,
okay,
like symbol.
Okay, sure.
You figure out which one of those belongs to each of these. So there's a bunch of drawings, which are at doodle level, but this person has clearly tried. And you puzzle out that it indicates this console is important. Do not touch the console. Did you need to touch the console? Is it not raining? Did all the plants die? Okay, I guess you can touch the console. Like, it's a...
Sure.
A flowchart.
It's a giant set of illustrations attempting to convey without language the basics of this is when you use the thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think the thing is the weapon?
It appears to be describing just the console itself. It appears to not be assuming an understanding of the source of the abilities that the console is controlling. You would guess, based on that 21, that this person does not speak my language and has no way to speak it version of the manual. It is a noble attempt, but obviously that's almost impossible to actually do. It's the same thing, like how we're trying to figure out how to label radioactive sites for don't go in here.
Yeah, there is a word for that exact design philosophy.
Yeah, but this is very much the equivalent of the there's no honor here label in front of the nuclear waste site. After that, you get to the written manual. The illustrations and diagrams reappear, but there's a lot of writing of what everything does and how to use it. It does descend into words like doohickey and, you know, the switchy thing every once in a while.
Got it.
You can tell that this person, you know, self-taught themselves how to use this thing and didn't necessarily like use this thing to the extent they did. But you do get the instructions for how to turn the monitor on.
Uh-huh.
That as soon as you flick any other switch, it's gonna display a note. You flick any other switch, it'll go to the menu, and there will be three options, which is that same note, the manual that you are currently reading in a digital format, presumably, and then the ability to edit the settings of the Thylas weapon system, untranslatable word, translated as units.
Okay, I relay all of that.
Yeah.
I think that this is dangerous. I'm thinking this is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Well, yeah, it's probably dangerous, but like it probably doesn't do that right away. Maybe there's more stuff on this thing to learn once we turn it on.
I guess it would probably be included in the manual. It's mentioned to always use that settings thing that they set up. They have done their best to block you from doing any actual full-on, like, nuts and bolts access to that weapon system in an attempt to keep it to only do the essentially, I guess it has settings for the other project too, but let you control like how often it rains and how much sunlight there is. and things like that. But it looks like the person went through efforts to make sure you could not actually use the weapon system part of anything.
Hmm. Okay.
That said, you're messing with meteorology. It could be easy to screw this up.
Sure. Yeah, this seems really dangerous and we would just be pushing buttons. Like, what's the goal? What's our goal here?
Well, if it's about meteorology and we got the skies clear, like all around the planet.
Every note in here appears to indicate that this is set up to affect this area and only this area.
Hmm.
It's possible you could try to get it so it affects a greater space, but that's going to be going out of all the restrictions they gave you, probably. So this is essentially adjusting the automatic timer and the dimmer switch and things like that. It's not...
This is your thermostat. This isn't the nuclear codes.
Okay. I don't think this is going to get us anywhere. I think this is just...
It's a thermostat built on top of nuclear codes. Sure, it's fine.
It's a nuclear thermostat. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we let the Jinxies know... Jinkies, that's it. maybe we let them know, but I don't
This is outside our ken.
Yeah.
What if there is one of the bases that, like, could control the clouds?
I mean, something's controlling the clouds. This area is clear.
This is controlling the clouds here. I think Jesse is suggesting, like, all clouds.
Yeah, like, what if there's one of the... Because they, you know, there's other bases... She said.
Ah. Oh. Like, what if the clouds everywhere else are being controlled by a similar machine and they're on intentionally?
Yeah.
So if we, like, turned the cloud cover on over here, then that would make this area vulnerable to corruption?
No. No. Like, what I'm saying is, like, what if all the cloud cover is being controlled currently somewhere else for the whole planet all at once?
I mean, obviously not here.
No, but, like, what if we could find where it is being controlled? Like, now we know that that it's possible to control the climate. We got to find where the climate is being controlled.
Yeah, I get it. Sounds like a lot.
The climate's being controlled here. I don't think that the clouds, that the corruption clouds are being... I think that the clouds
but
are
then
from
how
the corruption.
Else, but then, like, how else is the clouds happening?
From the corruption. The corruption is creating them. Or it's a byproduct of the corruption.
But, like, what if it's not?
Then what would it be?
It's being controlled by one of the other bases.
Why?
Oh, it's like in The Matrix. Vons quickly explains The Matrix.
Jesse, like, ends with just her head and, like, between her legs, just like, I don't know what the fuck is happening now. Jesse's like, okay, 3 hours later.
So they were like, in real life, or what's a computer?
What if, like, the corruption used one of these bases to, like, turn all of the clouds on?
Okay, but why?
Because it's easier for them to make more of themselves, and if there's cloud cover.
Well, who says that they...
So they built the bases?
Well, no, but, like, you're saying that you... I mean, Wealthy was saying she thinks that the corruption is the like, tiny things. It's really hard to talk about without getting meta, you guys.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Wealthy said she thinks that the corruption is the tiny things.
Okay.
Like, what if the tiny things, like, infected a bunch of people, turned on, like, the cloud cover using one of the bases.
Okay.
In order to, like, because they do better when there's cloud cover and they do worse when there's not cloud cover.
Okay.
So, like, nanomachines making clouds of themselves and as cloud. I don't know why nanomachines would die in the light, though.
Because they're evil nanomachines.
I mean, hey, man, I'm just saying words.
Because they run on hate.
They want everyone to be sad.
Uh-huh.
To have sad makes it easier. That's what I think.
I understand where you're coming from, and that may be a really, really astute observation.
Jesse gets freaked out that she's said something intelligent.
I think that we ought to just, we've come here for one reason. And
to get honey.
To get honey. That is right.
Which for some reason affects this corruption stuff.
Which for some reason affects the corruption. Do we, I think the question.
Makes them remember sunlight. And that makes them not sad anymore.
Okay.
In the background,
it scares me that that makes sense.
Face is just in his hand.
It scares me that that makes sense.
Wait, Wealthy, doesn't honey make you think of sunlight and like flowers and stuff?
No, it makes me think about baking.
Oh, it just tastes like sunlight.
Well,
and flowers.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe not using the honey is why that dough came to life.
Maybe using too much honey. Okay. I think the thing we have to sit back and think about is the fact that we came here for the honey. We've found honey. We should be able to transport enough. I've got teleport. I can transport us right back to the Jenkins.
Well, why wouldn't you just transport us directly back to the Arks?
Because we need the honey. Because the Jenkies can make that's where we can make the antidote or vaccine or whatever. And certainly where we can test it on Shad.
Yeah, it seems like the best place to do the actual research.
Right? Oh, okay, fair enough.
Okay, so listen. We know where the honey is. We've got the honey. We also think, due to Jesse's astute observation before the one about the honey, that the corruption may be controlling one of the bases that's creating all these clouds. The only way to start finding those bases is to go into the tunnels. Is that a thing we want to do? Or do we want to go back and get a vaccine going for Shad? For the corrupted? That's the question that we have to answer. We have one of two choices right now, and those are our choices.
Go find the base where the corrupted are controlling the clouds, or pursue the cure.
Yes. I think those are the two I see.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think. I don't have anything else.
Those are certainly two routes to handling the broader issue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I my vote would probably be then for pursuing the cure. That's what we came all the way down here for. And
we're just going to leave off a side quest one more time.
Right.
Okay. I'm down with that. I just...
There's a pin on it. There's a, you know...
I don't know. I mean, if
you don't think so?
If we can fix the clouds, do we need the cure?
That's fair.
Well, if we fix the clouds, then these things figure out how to go underground anyway.
I mean, there's a lot of them. I don't know if they can actually all go underground.
Yeah, and underground is still better than everywhere, but either way, we eventually need to figure out a cure situation.
And have you all seen how many tunnels there are under this fucking world?
No, how would you know, Gex?
There might be enough space. We live on a floating rock, and it has miles and miles of tunnels underneath the main tunnel.
Yeah, but that's probably an outlier, right?
But
maybe some of those tunnels were dug by the people who did this.
But we've been assured many times that the tunnels in the mountain are natural phenomena.
No, that's not what... saying, Aaron.
Is it not?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying, but you know.
Gex is saying that there's lots of underground.
Yeah, Gex is just saying there may actually be space for every single corrupted creature to go underground, because at least in his lived experience, you guys keep finding cave networks.
Yeah.
There seems more caves than not caves. More caves than solid rock, anyway.
This whole world is one small meteor away from just imploding.
Although I will grant you, if we did get control over, as Simba's dad said, everything the light touches, then it would be a lot easier to get a good bee culture going.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this is true too. See, this is why we need to think about these things.
But we could get bees started here. Maybe we get like some bee stuff going, and then some cure stuff, and then we have a stronger set of tools with which to venture out to find out how to clear the cloud cover, and then we get more honey, and then we get more power, and then we get more women.
Wealthy, make an intelligence check for me.
Are you trying to get women? Because, like, I can introduce you to some
26.
Girls.
Wealthy, finally your GE requirements pay off.
All right, yeah.
So, to add additional context to the theories you are discussing, you would guess that the hole in the clouds above here, it's probably some combination of the thing that can make it rain and or that stealth thing they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you do know that both of those were noted as experimental and that at least the rain one was completed here. That's not to say it can't have happened somewhere else, but you do know from that that these systems, at least as far as the writer was concerned and knew, were not widespread. The other thing you know is that when you guys were looking at that journal from the last keeper, they mentioned that the corruption started very far away until suddenly there were lots and lots of people coming in. And you combine that with what you learned in your, you know, history survey class, which in a fantasy world where certain people live thousands of years must be a goddamn nightmare. But you do know that
That is not the way I remember it.
You do know that the clouds, they did start, you know, somewhere and then spread out, but it was pretty fast. And from what people have been able to put together from logs, this was not the continent the clouds started on. That said, those logs could be wrong. A lot of knowledge has been lost. Someone like Prime Frymeath might have a more secure answer than the, you know, history writer. Like, if you get the right person who was there at the right time, kind of like how, probably not anymore, but you could find people who saw the bomb go off at Hiroshima and were far enough away to continue to live.
Or Frymeath might have something in his library.
Yeah.
Or Wolverine.
Yeah.
What?
Wolverine survived the Hiroshima blast.
Oh.
No, the Nagasaki blast, I believe.
Ah, but either way, also you were taught in your magic class that the corruption itself, I mean, you've seen this in your fights too, the corruption itself, when you have Detect Magic on, does read as magic. It is theoretically known to not cast magic, although as your brain works through the gears of some of your adventures so far, you have seen corruption cast magic before. And I believe Corva even expressed some alarm that it had been happening occasionally. So there's at least some precedent that they've been able to cast magic sometimes. So it's possible they were able to do a spell to do the clouds, although that's far beyond anything you've seen. That said, the clouds themselves do not appear to be magic. So it could be one of those things like a lot of spells where you know, alter the world or summon something, and then it is just there and not necessarily inherently magic forever. Or it could be something like the design here. But basically, what you have learned does not line up necessarily with the clouds starting from here. That said, it's a valid theory, and you would have to go and do some research to, like, make sure it's not true, if that helps you all set priorities.
So I let everybody know all of this information, and I'm leaning, as much as I'd like to go spelunking, I'm leaning towards the idea of starting the vaccine with the Jankies, and then maybe going off on our own, maybe going and finding Harper's ships and finding, well, start the vaccine, go back up to the arcs, do some research to find out where the corruption is likely to have started, use Harper's ship to get there, and then see what we can find. That's my idea. And that's the plan that that Wealthy lays out in front of everybody.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Well, does anybody have a problem with that? Is that what we want to do?
I mean, that's kind of where I was leaning anyway. But it's good to know that we've got some more things to learn from specific places, especially places we can get to. A lot less guessing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sorry, I feel like we've lost the thread.
Momentum.
There's just so much information.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a plan, and that plan right now is currently gather honey.
Yeah.
Probably not bees, because...
yeah, leave them alone.
The real riddle I have for you is, what's your plan for capturing bees?
Basket.
Did you think to bring those?
No.
Okay. But if you're just grabbing honey and popping back to the
Jinkies.
We thought
that we were coming to a place where there were people where we would buy honey.
Yeah.
Or existing.
I assume you just like go buy a hive. They're magical bees. They probably carry the hive. Just bring it back onto the boat.
Fair enough. But all right. So you're going to gather some honey.
How is Harper going to like tell the people on the boat to chill the fuck out and just do whatever?
What if I teleported up and got a beekeeper from wherever the fuck I'm from, the other side of the mountain, and I can't remember what I call it now. And I brought the beekeeper down, and they could keep the, they could, you know, they'd be happy to deal with swarms.
Well, we're definitely going to have to, like, bring somebody down here to take care of these bees if we want there to be, like, a lot more honey.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the honey does need to get into some amount of, I don't think...
heavy-duty production.
Yeah, I don't think that this Vons knows anything about that, but yeah.
You can also roll that into your trip back to the Arcs after dropping off a load of honey with the Jinkies.
I feel like that's probably for the best.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. I think we should gather some honey from here.
Get the research going.
We have a bunch of vessels, I know, because we've, you know, drank a lot of water.
Yeah.
we did find some sort of vessels. Yeah, I just think we should collect as much honey now as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not worry about getting in bees right now. When we come back here, we should bring back a beekeeper to be able to, like, you know, get more bees or, like,
oh, set you need up a bee getter for that.
What? Yeah. Okay. So we'll get a bee getter and, like, they'll either stay here and keep the bees or they'll get the bees and bring them back.
Put a portal to where the bees are. That would work too.
I mean, Wealthy knows the spell.
You got options. All right.
All right.
So sounds like you guys have your plan. You all head out of the bunker. I assume, you know, put the thing back in the box, close all the doors behind you. Harper's going to rebury this hatch as much as she can if you guys don't do it.
Yeah.
I will.
We want to keep the hatch a secret as much as possible. Yeah.
And then real quick, Jesse, can you make a wisdom check for me just to determine how successful your honey gathering is as a group? I feel like you'd be the one with the most knowledge.
Sure.
Well, I have some knowledge. I mean, you know.
You can also make a wisdom check if you like.
26 on a prime.
That's a 19 on a not prime.
Okay. The group has some trouble with the whole bees are not usually the chillest about you taking their honey. But you guys figure it out. You manage to get, I'm assuming no one wants to do anything else in this valley and that you're going forward with your plan. You go, you gather all the honey. You gather more than enough for pretty much any experiment you'd want to do. Let's say it's like 5 gallons over a couple of days. It's a lot of honey across a lot of containers. And then you can teleport to the Jinkies. And that's where we'll pick up next week.
Okay. Great.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod, on Twitter @primeattribute, and at primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all of our Blazed posts. Castles and Crusades is published by Trollord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by Adam. This week's editor was Ian, who is me. Thank you, me. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.